What keeps you awake at night? What are your fears? What voice do you hear that guides you? I can't remember a time when I've been a sound sleeper, I'm sorry to admit. In fact, I remember I was about 8 or 9 years old when I was awake at 3 in the morning, pitch black, and there was a shadow in the window that looked just like a man's head with a hat looking in my window. I was terrified. I didn't want to move because he might notice I was there. I didn't want to make a sound because I knew he was just waiting for me to fall asleep and then he was going to swoop in. My parents' bedroom was right next door. So the dilemma was, do I make a sound to call my dad and alert the robber? Well, I did. Dad? No answer. Dad! No answer. And you know, there was no problem with my parents' sleep habits. Finally, Dad! Well, Dad came in, groggy, but not grumpy. And I explained that there was a man at the window, and he checked the window, and no, he assured me no one was there. Are you sure? He checked again, no one was there. Then he looked under my bed and in my closet. And then he looked one more time, and there was no one at the window. Whew, finally, I could go to sleep. But looking back on it, I realized that part of the fear at night is being alone. There is nothing like that 3 a.m. in the dark, being alone terror. Today's passage from Hebrew scripture is another story of a child and disturbed sleep. Not about Samuel's fear, we don't know that, but it does suggest that God's call in our lives has two elements, our aloneness and our connection to others. As I mentioned in the Moments with Children, we are celebrating baptism this morning, and this ritual celebrates both our uniqueness, our being called by name to be authentically who God made us to be, and our connection to others through the body of Christ. Today, we're going to baptize Sophia and Katie. We will hear them called by name. We will affirm that they are created in the image of God, beloved of God, and that we are pledging to help them in their journey to become themselves through their whole life. We pledge to be with them in the journey, alone and together. In baptism, we see that we don't just belong to ourselves, but to God and to one another. Today's story about the boy Samuel, who's called by God at night, we see that he needed his mentor Eli to even recognize that it was God who was calling. And elderly Eli, whose eyesight is failing and whose health is failing, he needs Samuel to hear the message. This sermon comes with two disclaimers. The first is that in this ancient civilization, ancient Israel, the concept of individualism, like we know it, that wasn't there. So we can't read it that way. But there is this theme of aloneness and together, the dynamic where Eli and Samuel together hear the word of God. And it was a difficult message. So difficult that Samuel was afraid to tell Eli. That's the part of the story that gets me. Can you imagine after he finally recognized that it was God calling and he's got to tell Eli, God's mad. God is going to punish you forever. God is not even going to let your sacrifice change it. That was the message. It was a prophetic message. That's the other disclaimer I have. You won't hear me preaching very often on the anger and judgment and punishment of God. However, the God of faithful, loving kindness will call into accountability leadership that is not grounded in compassion and justice. Today, as a church, the prophetic message for us is to hear what may be difficult. This story came from the early times of Israel that was in turmoil and transition. Yes, Israel was led into Canaan, but things were far from settled. In fact, tribal wars threatened to tear people apart. The promise to make things great again came at the expense of people who were already in Palestine. Even in the Promised Land, things were far from perfect. Into the turmoil of history, into the fears of today, in the lonely hours of the night, God calls us. Can we hear that call? We live in a loud world. Voices are shouting over Twitter, over news and social media. I saw a cartoon a couple weeks ago. I think it's from The New Yorker. It was a game show, and the game show says, "Facts don't matter." And the game show host is saying, "I'm sorry, Jeannie, you have the correct answer, but Kevin shouted his answer over yours, so he gets the points." How do we hear God's voice? How do we discern God's desire for us in the clamor of all the noise? Are we on our own in this? Can we count on others? Among the Shona people of Zimbabwe, this is how they greet each other. "Did you sleep well?" "I slept well if you slept well." "I slept well." "How are you?" "I am here if you are here." "I am here." I find this kind of community identity very difficult to comprehend, but beautiful to aspire to. I've been reading an excellent book by the researcher Brené Brown called Braving the Wilderness. She notes that recent research on belonging shows that participants reported feeling surrounded by us versus them cultures that create feelings of spiritual disconnection. Over and over, participants talked about their concern that the only thing that binds us together now is shared fear and disdain, not common humanity, shared trust, respect, or love. They reported feeling more and more afraid to disagree or debate with friends, colleagues, and family because of lack of civility and tolerance. Just when we most need to share our common humanity, we are dividing ourselves into like-minded factions, factions which make us feel only more alone. Brown writes that true belonging happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, authentic with self-acceptance. This is what baptism is about. We come with our imperfections, and God's grace holds us in love so that we can love ourselves. Even when we are utterly alone, we are connected to one another by something greater than group membership, greater than politics, greater than ideology. We are connected by love and the human spirit. And no matter how separated we are by what we think and believe, we are part of the same spiritual story. In baptism, we commit ourselves to each other. We claim to be part of the same story. In a bit, the congregation will pledge our support to the newly baptized. We promise to teach, to support, and to love. This is a calling that God has not just for Christians, not just for one race or one nation or one government. It's a calling for the world that begins with the love here. It's California, it's Washington, D.C., it's Puerto Rico and Haiti and El Salvador, it's Russia and France, Canada and Germany, the nations of Asia and Africa. God calls us to love ourselves, to love one another, and to love the world. The word voice and vocation both come from calling. We're all called, and not talking about necessarily your job, although it's wonderful when our gifts and our work mesh. But we are each called to be authentically ourselves and to bring who we are to God's work. Because this world needs us. The world needs us to throw our whole selves into loving one another. What is God whispering? We are hearing when we love ourselves as God loves us, not for our grand accomplishments or perfection, but for our flawed humanity and our human hearts. When we can see without defensiveness our own imperfections, our hearts get soft. Our hearts are open and permeable. On this Martin Luther King Sunday, let us hear God when we see the humanity in each other, across politics, across age, across race. We hear God when we cultivate joy. I have one more quote from Brené Brown, and again, the book is called Braving the Wilderness. She writes, "I know a lot of people who feel guilt and even shame about their own moments of joy. How can I play on this gorgeous beach with my family while there are people who have no home and no safety? Why am I working so hard to decorate my son's birthday cupcakes like cute little Despicable Me minions when there are so many Syrian children starving to death? What difference do these stupid cupcakes really make? They matter. They matter because joy matters. Joy comes when we love ourselves as God loves, when we love others as God loves. This is the joy we celebrate at baptism. The breezes at dawn have secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the doorsill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep.